Yesterday we noted that Mark begins his gospel that is going to be an unfolding of the facts about salvation by stating who God's special agent was, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He then uses some Old Testament verses to show how John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin, was God's special messenger. He was to prepare the way for God's special agent. John quotes from Malachi and, under God the Holy Spirit's guidance, explains exactly what was prophesied. I, that is God, will send my messenger, John the Baptist, ahead of you, Jesus, who will prepare your, Jesus's way. John had a job to do. God had planned it. Zechariah and Elizabeth had been spiritually in tune with it. And against all odds, John was conceived. Both Elizabeth and her husband were old. They were well along in years, and yet God caused Elizabeth to conceive and give birth to his special messenger. This reminds us that God has a plan for each one of us. We must be in tune with him, not the world, so that we can make ourselves available. How it saddens me to see young Christians today getting sucked into the money-seeking society we are surrounded by. How many could be missionaries, evangelists, pastors, teachers, and all the other vital jobs the Church of Christ needs. Let us pray that they may see that their lives can only have real meaning when they are walking in the plan that God has for them. John the Baptist was not only used to prepare for the coming of Christ, he was able to share with his society the fact that soon they would be able to experience God's special baptism. The Holy Spirit in Old Testament times had come upon a person for a time, for a specific purpose. They knew nothing of the indwelling comforter, guide, encourager, empowerer, living with them 24 hours a day. This is a glorious truth we know in our heads and should be constantly expressed in our hearts. Are you confident that you are day by day being filled with the Holy Spirit? I'm not talking about individual times with God that draw us closer to him. This is the birthright of every Christian. As Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13, for we were, past tense, all, no exceptions, baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free. And we were, past tense, all, no exceptions, given the one Spirit to drink. If you're having difficulties in this area, check first that you really know Christ personally as your Saviour. We receive Christ by faith, and daily we believe by faith that God the Holy Spirit lives in us to give us the power to live the Christian life. If you're still not sure, pray to the Lord something like this. O God, thank you for sending your Son to be my Saviour. You have promised me that when I believed, the Holy Spirit came to live inside me. By faith, I believe you, and ask that he will take control of my life today and use me for what you have planned. Amen. God's special agent, introduced by God's special messenger, who told us of God's special baptism, is going to cause more than one special effect in our lives. There will be confession of sin, like those John baptized in water. Reverence for God will characterize our lives. John recognized the power of Christ and his purity when he said, after me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. Chapter 1, verse 7. True baptism in the Spirit brings out a humble, serving attitude in the heart of the believer, walking in God's plan. Now let's read our passage for this morning. Mark chapter 1, verses 9 to 13. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." At once the Spirit sent him out into the desert, and he was in the desert for 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. Notice first, if you will, the timing of these events. We have been talking about God's perfect plan for each of our lives. Doing the right thing too late is useless. If you wish to tell a neighbour about Christ, it is pointless to tell him at his graveside. The Lord convicted me during our Friendship Evangelist series to contact an elderly, very sick man for Christ. I have done the cultivation work. The bridge building work is completed. Now I have to tell him the truth of the gospel before it's too late. Timing is vital. John the Baptist entered his difficult ministry as God's special messenger right on cue. And verse 9 tells us that at that time, at the height of John's ministry, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee. This, of course, was John's supreme moment. John's gospel gives us the words he used. They seem to come over better in the New American Standard Version. Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This was the first public appearance of our Lord, and John does his work perfectly, even though the thought of actually baptizing the perfect Christ threw him for a moment. I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? He said. Let it be so now, said Jesus. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. Matthew, in this case, gives a fuller account than does Mark. Chapter 3, verse 13. Now is important to God, whose very name is the present tense, I am. Your now is his concern. He is sharing in your sickness now. Your present sorrow is his sorrow too. The frustration you face is felt by him as well. God is with you now. Nobody else knows your problems, maybe. Jesus spent 30 years in obscurity in a little village called Nazareth. His village was never mentioned in the Old Testament, or the Talmud, or the history book written by Josephus, the famous first century Jewish historian. Jesus, at the right time, journeyed from the northern territory of Galilee down to the southern area of Judea. John was probably baptizing near Jericho, north of the Dead Sea. So Jesus had to travel about 70 miles for his appointment. He had no reason to confess, as he was completely without sin. His baptism was not confession, it was identification. Our Lord was identifying himself with his chosen people, the Jews. He was also dedicating himself to God's great plan of salvation. In humble obedience, our Lord was offering himself as the servant saviour of mankind. This was the start of the final stage of our redemption. It is very encouraging to realize that our Lord's obedience brought great honor to John the Baptist. Everything he had preached and prophesied found its fulfillment in the servant king, identified from his humble background as the Messiah. With Christ's identification with his people and his purpose came God's verification of whom he was. Our Lord's baptism was different from any before or since. The sky was split, torn open. God was about to break into the life of the world to deliver his people. Secondly, the Holy Spirit came in visible, dove-like form to rest upon God's Redeemer. God verified that this Jesus was both Lord and Christ, as Peter later was to preach on the day of Pentecost. The third difference was the voice from heaven, verse 11. God states, "You are my Son." There have been many people who've claimed to be the Messiah over the centuries. The last one my wife Janet heard about on Radio 4 recently and was referred to, I believe, by MP Frank Field, who, like all the other honourable members, had had a writ served on him from a man claiming to be Christ. He could be contacted via a post office box number in Sheffield, apparently. Attention seekers and those with mental illness apart, there have been others who've claimed to be Christ. But this unique baptism at the start of the ministry of Jesus of Nazareth sets him apart from every other as the Son of God. In our Bible overview, we notice that the three persons of the Godhead are mentioned and alluded to throughout Scripture. The word Trinity is never mentioned. It is a theological term from the Latin Trinitas, meaning three. It is part of the special jargon that is used in Christianity that we should learn and understand and be able to break down into simple language for our unsaved and newly converted friends to understand. If anyone from a false religion says that the Trinity is nowhere found in the Bible, turn to Mark chapter 1, verses 9 to 11. Jesus, God the Son, was present in the Jordan. God the Holy Spirit descended on the Lord like a dove. And to complete the Holy Trinity, God the Father speaks from heaven, endorsing Jesus of Nazareth as his Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. The last thing we have time to look at is the temptation that followed the identification and verification of the Messiah. Verse 12. At once the Spirit sent him out into the desert. If we publicly declare ourselves for Christ, in whatever way, the enemy will try to tempt us away from him. Immediately, the Holy Spirit allows Satan to put the Lord to the test. He fasted for 40 days in the desert. The human body can usually take such a fast period without serious consequences, as long as water is available. Jesus was attacked by hunger in his physical body, and attacked by Satan spiritually, and attacked by wild animals, which would play on his mind and cause mental troubles. But in all this temptation and testing, our Lord was attended by angels. The Lord Jesus had angels watching over him. We may not believe it, and if we do, rarely think about it, but each of us has angels attending us too. So what example have we got to follow today? Our Lord identified with the people of his day, sin apart. We should be alongside those with whom we come in contact, not aloof and uncaring. The Holy Spirit will verify before all we meet that we are children of God by the way we live. And in the temptations and testing times, the Lord is standing by us. His Spirit is within us, and his angels are surrounding us. We have all we need to be more than conquerors through him who loved us. So let's live for the Lord today and make our mark.